You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
It's officially Christmas, so that's cool, right? It's officially Christmas season, right? Yeah, some of you are with me. If you're new, you need to know I like people to yell at me when I preach. I preach better when people are like, yeah, that's good, or yeah, preach, that sort of stuff. I don't know if it's an ego or if it's just makes me preach better. Sound good? Just helps me know you're awake and you're with me. So this morning, make sure you yell back at me. Is it Christmas season at your house? Good. You awake at your house? Awesome. Good. Some of you, is everyone else going to wake up soon? Awesome. Good. So it's Christmas season, and I know Christmas starts at a different time for every family. For some families, Christmas starts at Thanksgiving. You eat the turkey, and then you start getting ready for the Christmas ham, right? Like, some people, like, Thanksgiving's done. In fact, for some people, Thanksgiving's just something you got to get out of the way so you can have Christmas, right? Then there's other people like me who I think Christmas should be 2 weeks before Christmas. I'm not the whole December guy. I'm the 2 weeks before Christmas. That's when it starts. I'm not a Scrooge. I'm not like, nah, I hate Christmas. I love Christmas so much that it's going to exhaust me if I go really hard the whole time for a whole month, right? Like, I love Christmas, and I get all about Christmas, so I can only handle 2 weeks before my body starts saying, you need sleep, bro, relax, right? Anyone else like that? You know, it's a two-week deal. Yep, good, good, good. And then there's some people like my wife who 2019 Christmas starts on the 26th of December this year, right? So Christmas is over on the 25th, and then on the 26th, we're getting ready for next year. We're going and spending all of the monies at Target and at Bed Bath & Beyond and at Jordan Creek Mall, and we're getting ready for next year right now. Who does that? Three people and my wife, right? Like, but no matter which one of those people you are, whether you're like a late bloomer and Christmas starts 2 weeks before Christmas or whatever you are, it is Christmas now, right? It is Christmas season now. Everybody knows it. You can't run away from it. You can't deny it. It is Christmas now. And this is that bizarre time of year where we've all made our plans, right? And it's that bizarre time of year where our best laid plans just cannot prevent that one person from coming to Christmas. Have you figured that out? Right? Like, who's got somebody that they wish would not come to your Christmas, right? Come on, we've all got that somebody. If you don't know who it is, it's you, right? That's at every single Christmas, right? Well, like, you know, there's that person who you lied to them and you told them that there were special deals, you know, to go to Hawaii this year. So you bought them air tickets to Hawaii, leaving on Christmas Eve so that they could have Christmas in Hawaii, special deal, and God told you to bless them, and that's what you told to them. You lied to them. You told them that. But that was your plan. It was a great plan to get rid of them for Christmas, but then their flight was canceled, right? There was a storm. Their flight was canceled. You know that would happen, right? If you try and get rid of them, their flight will be canceled. Our best laid plans get canceled. Right now, you might be like, we ain't made any plans. I'm telling you, your spouse has. You're like, we don't have, no, somebody in your house has made plans. Your kids have made plans. Somebody has made plans. We plan and plan and plan, and we try and try and try, and we plan away the unexpected, and we try and plan away the frustrating, but it ends up coming anyway, doesn't it? Those people and those things happen anyway. Now, keep planning. I'm not saying that you shouldn't plan, right? Like, oh, Pastor just said it's not going to work anyway. Might as well not have a plan. Next year, we're just going to see what happens, right? Well, that is a plan too, by the way. But don't stop planning. Don't use the unexpected and the frustrating as an excuse. to do nothing. Instead, lent a line from Pastor Darren Kitto's sermon from 2 weeks ago when he said to leave room around the edges of your heart for the unexpected. Leave room in your emotional tank for the interruptions so they don't ruin your plans, so they don't ruin your life. Amen. And I want to look at the three wise men in Matthew chapter 2. There are a few blokes that had some plans and they didn't go the way they planned. See, what happened was they heard about Jesus. They heard that baby Jesus, anyone else say that? You can't say baby Jesus. It's too hard. It always ends up going cute, doesn't it? Like baby Jesus. Does anyone else do that? Like baby Jesus. Charlie told me the other day that when baby Jesus grows up, he'll look like me. And I'm like, he grew up before me, just so you know, Charlie. Get your theology right, five-year-old. Come on now, right? You're the pastor's son, right? You need to know better. Anyway, so we straighten that out. The three wise men, they had this plan because God had revealed to them the location of baby Jesus. And so they have this plan. Let's go see baby Jesus. Let's take him some gifts. They take him gold. They take him frankincense. They take him some myrrh. See, they give him gold because gold represents kingship. He is the king. The king has come to earth. He's come to serve you. He loves you. He's madly in love with you. Amen. He's come to provide salvation for you. He's come to provide for your needs. He's a benevolent king, and he's still on the throne. Jesus is still on the throne. Are you with me? That's what the gold represents. He is an eternal king, and he's on the throne. Then they give him some frankincense. Now, the frankincense represents worship. All right, they came to worship the king. See, frankincense, though, the Hebrew word is actually labone, and that means white. See, it's talking about how Scripture says that in the presence of God, he washes our souls white as snow. See, our soul was blood-stained, sin-stained. It was messed up, and then we come into the presence of God, and he washes our soul white as snow. And that's what happens when we worship this king. See, as we worship him, as we stand in his presence and sing to the Lord, he comes and restores our soul. He comes and washes us white as snow in our soul. Amen. And that's what the frankincense represented. But then these three wise men give the baby Jesus another gift. Not so nice, not so kind, not so encouraging. They give him myrrh. Myrrh represents trial, suffering, frustration, interruption, hurt, pain. Myrrh represents those things. So when they gave him myrrh, they're saying, hey, little dude, this is in your future. Now that sounds harsh, doesn't it? See, myrrh was at his birth and myrrh was at his death and his burial. You got to understand what this tells us is that Jesus knows what it's like to go through trial. Jesus knows what it's like to have pain, to have frustration, to have hurt in his life. He has been abused. He has been accused. He has been neglected. He has been neglected and rejected. Amen. He's been hated by family and disowned by his own friends. He's been interrupted, overspoken, ignored, and ultimately killed for teaching and preaching the truth. He knows what it feels like to go through a trial. He can relate to your trial. He can relate to what's happening in your life right now. And in the midst of your trial, in the midst of your trouble, he knows your name. He knows what it feels like. And he also knows how to win, how to be victorious over that. And so as you remember the gold, what you need to remember is that Jesus is king. It's like the old song, he is the king of kings. His name is Jesus. Jesus. Did you all sing that over here? Because every time I do this, it's like proves that I've been in church for a long time, right? I'm only 35, but I've been in church for 47 years, right? So I know all the old songs, right? So when we think of the gold, he is the King of kings of kings. His name is Jesus. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He prepares a table of steak and vegetables in the presence of my enemies. He is the King. He has resource. He wants to bless me. He's willing and able to bless me. Amen. And that's what the gold tells me. Then when I remember the frankincense, I remember that I have access to that King, that as I stand in his presence and worship him, he restores my soul. He sets me free. He cleanses my soul of those blood-stained mistakes and washes it white as snow. He makes all things new. Amen. And then when I think about the myrrh, we remember that he knows what it's like to be where we are, and he knows how to get us through. Amen. Someone clapped. Good. Because I honestly thought it was worth that too. Like, I think it's a good word, right? I feel like Benny Perez. I'll high five myself. Y'all remember when he did that? By the way, Pastor Benny Perez is coming back in 2019, so that's going to be awesome. For the sake of the rest of this message, I need you to know something today. Merle is the myrrh. All right? If your name's Merle, I'm sorry, it just rhymes. What choice did I have? I couldn't say gold, frankincense, and Steve, right? It wasn't going to work, right? Merle is the myrrh. Merle is your trial. Merle is your interruption. Merle is the frustration. Merle is that one person you wish you didn't have to deal with on Christmas Day. But here's the thing. The answer to every Merle that you'll come across this Christmas season is the gold and the frankincense. The answer to the myrrh came before it. He is the King. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemy, and I have access to that King. I can stand in his presence, and in his presence, all things are made new. Amen. So the three wise men with their gold, their frankincense, and their myrrh, they had plans, didn't they? Let's go see Jesus, give him the gifts, and go home. But they found out that there was a King that wanted to kill Jesus. And so that King wanted the wise men to come and see him on their way home. Tell him all about Jesus. Where's Jesus at? So they made another plan. They had to abort their original plans and go home a different way. I want to tell you, this first Christmas, that was my phone. That is terrible. I have never done that before. And that was John Fuquay, one of my staff. What the heck, man, texting in church? Dude. When you see John afterwards, you all go, let him rip, all right? Just John. I was going to prophesy. Now I'm not. And that's on John. The three wise men had a plan. The plan went bad, right? See, that very first Christmas was the epitome of interruptions, all right? If you think your Christmas is bad, you need to understand something about the first Christmas, the one that set the standard for all the Christmases to come. It was the worst. Everything was ruined. All the plans went bad. It was the epitome of interruption, unexpected and downright evil oppression. A family, Mary and Joseph, literally only recently overcome an intense fight over how the wife really got pregnant. Think about it. It was God. You understand that was an argument, right? Like, that wasn't just nothing, right? Think about your family. That's not just going to slide. We're going to go through this, right? And Joseph, he's like a good man, but he's going to divorce her quietly. But he was still going to divorce her. Like, he was mad. He was mad as a cut snake. And so they get over that argument. And then months later, they're going home to Bethlehem for a census because everyone had to be counted and categorized and labeled for some reason. And when they get there, she's been riding on a donkey 9 months pregnant, evidently that makes you go into labor. She gets there, no room, seats taken, can't sit here. I watch way too many movies, I know. No room for you. You can't stay here. It was like going to what's that big farm place called? Living History Farms there. And you go to Hotel Renovo right there and you're like, you got a room? My wife's pregnant. They're like, go to the hospital. We're like, they don't exist yet. So we're doing that here. And they're like, well, can't sit here, but we got a farm. Go out there where the cows are at. Have your baby in the barn. Put your kid in a little in a food tray where the cows are eating from. That's what's going on here. And then they find out they've just had a little baby and the king wants to kill their baby. Like, that's weird. Like a weird running theme in all of the Bible, isn't it? Like last week we were talking about Moses and the king wanted to kill Moses, and now we've got Jesus and the king wants to kill Jesus. Weird theme in Bibles, right? This is the first Christmas. Someone's trying to kill the baby. There's no room. There's fights. This is what happened when peace enters the world. This is how the Prince of Peace came to earth. We're asking everybody for some peace and quiet. We always add the and quiet. Because somewhere along the lines we realize peace doesn't always come with quiet. Anyone else notice that? You can have peace in your heart, but still be like, shut up. Right? Give me some peace. You've already got it. Then give me some quiet. Right? Peace makes a rumble when it crashes into your life. Because peace isn't restricted by drama. Jesus isn't banished by an interruption. God isn't freaking out when a plan gets changed. That's not how I wanted it. I can't live here. There's too many cows in this barn. I'm out. Peace out, right? That's not how it works with God. Even if that one hillbilly cousin of yours, or that one obnoxious aunt, or that one super frustrating uncle turns up unexpected and unannounced like they do every year, but for some reason you don't expect them still, that might be on you. That one person, when they turn up, the wind is sucked out of everybody's lungs when everyone hears, Merle's here. The winds ain't gotten sucked out of God's lungs. I think that was English. Didn't make any sense as I said it. But the wind isn't sucked out of God's lungs. God's not surprised. God's not freaking out. The Prince of Peace is not banished when the drama turns up at your house this weekend. Come on now. Maybe for you, Merle is not a person, but a mistake you made many years ago. And then when you end up with family at Christmas, you're reminded of it. People talk about it. People remind you that you did this, you said that, you left so-and-so. You cheated on so-and-so, or yada, 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 and on and on and on it goes. Maybe Merle is a mistake you made once that people keep throwing at your face. Maybe Merle for you is an accident that happened. Maybe Merle for you is something that broke in your house. You're supposed to be preparing the Christmas ham for the whole family, but your oven broke. Maybe that's your Merle. But whatever it is, in the midst of your trial, Jesus still offers peace. He's still king. He's still got the gold, amen? Last week, we talked about how Jesus said, my peace I give to you and my peace I leave with you. God is still God in the middle of your interruption. You know that? Do you believe that though? Because we know it, but do we live that? God is God in your interruption. Today, I want to look at all the ways that Merle can ruin your Christmas. Disclaimer, by the way, if your name's Merle, I'm sorry I've made you the devil today. If your name is Merle, I'm sorry I made you the trial in this sermon. I know you're not. Well, you might be. I don't know you, but I hope you're not. And God bless. Even if you are the trial, we love you. God bless you. We're glad you're here, okay? I'm going to read from Luke chapter 8, verse 40 to 56. This is what I genuinely believe to be the most inconvenient of interruptions. As I look at my future, all the things that could possibly lay in front of me, this is the worst thing that could interrupt me as far as I'm concerned. Now, when Jairus returned, a crowd welcomed him, and they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at his feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his daughter, his only daughter, who was 12 years old, was dying. Now, you've got to understand something about this little girl. She's not just like dying one day. She's dying now, right? I don't know if you've ever been in a room with someone who's passing away. I have. And those last breaths happening maybe for an hour, but you know it's coming. It's happening now. That's where his daughter is at right now. It's not, hopefully we can find someone in a couple of weeks. It's, no, she is dying right now. And so Jesus is going to go with him. So it says, as Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years also, but no one could heal her. She came up behind Jesus and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. And everybody denied it. And Peter said, "Yo, bro." Well, he didn't say that. He said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you. Everybody's touching you." And Jesus is like, "Yeah, but somebody touched me. I know that power has gone out of me." Church, I want to tell you right now, there is a difference between just being in the presence of God and having faith. Right? You can stand in church like you do every week. You can worship like you do every week. But there's that time when you got to stand there and say, "God, I need you right now," and reach out and touch him. Reach out and say, "I need you now, God, I got you," right? Don't just stand in his presence. Have faith and ask for that thing that you wish that was different in your life. Ask, amen? That's a sermon for another day though. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at Jesus' feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had immediately been healed. Then Jesus said to her, "Daughter." I love that he calls her daughter as well. This is a story of two daughters. "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader, and said, "Jairus, your daughter is dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore. I told you, she was right there. She wasn't dying one day. She was dying right now. She was right there." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, the girl's father, "Don't be afraid. Just believe, she will be healed." Sometimes the greatest gifts of life, sometimes the greatest dreams you've got may seem like they're dead. And even if they did die, God can bring them back. Amen. God can breathe life into the dead places of your heart, into the dead situations of your life. Your family that's broken, it can come alive again. Your vocation that's broken, it can come alive again. The dream that you had that you've forgotten, it's dead, it can come alive again. Amen. When they arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, James, and the girl's mum and dad. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She's not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead, because she was dead, right? But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned. At once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. Church, put yourself in Jairus' shoes for a second here. His little 12-year-old girl is dying, right? He's made a brilliant plan. She's dying right now, but I heard Jesus. I heard the God man. I heard the healer is in town right now. I heard the one that everyone that touches him and everyone that's touched by him is healed, set free. I heard he can bring people back to life. I've heard all these things can happen. The God man is in town. So he makes a plan. I'm going to get the God man to come to my house. And Jesus says, yes, the plan is working. God is on his way. But then a woman gets in the way. A woman who's been bleeding for 12 years. I might be like, little old lady, get away, right? That's actually nice. That's channeling my Happy Gilmore. That's probably not how I would have done it. I'd be more like, get out of the way. Anyone else? I'm like a freight train. My girl is dying. I don't care about you. I don't care what's happening in your life. Get out of the way. I'm barging through. Come on, let's be honest. When you're in the pit, when you're in the valley, you're not looking for Nathan and Lindsay's needs. You're not looking for Stephanie's and Henry's needs. You're looking at your need. Come and help me get that woman out the way. Stop interrupting. But Jairus doesn't do that. I don't know why. Jairus doesn't do that. He's just there, chilling. We'll get to it. See, for as long as this little girl has been alive, this other woman has been bleeding. As long as this little girl had been playing, jumping, laughing, this other woman has been considered dirty, avoiding crowds, living as an unclean outcast from society, like a leper. Can we say some words that you don't normally hear in church for a second? Let's just talk about what this story is actually talking about. Is that all right? Right? So imagine living in a world where society thought having your period makes you unclean, unholy, untouchable, and disgusting. Imagine living in that world where you have to live like that for a certain amount of time every month for the rest of your life. But then imagine living like that 365 days a year for 12 years. Because that's the problem this woman had. For 12 years, the bleeding wouldn't stop. Well, then on the same day that Jairus needs a miracle, so does she. On the same day, they both need a miracle, right? Could it be that 12 years ago when Jairus' daughter was born, God knew that she would get sick? Could it be, now not make her sick, no, but knew that she would get sick? And could it be that on that same day 12 years ago, that other woman was cast out of society, made to feel dirty, began to live a life of suffering like a beggar that nobody liked, assuming that God is punishing her for some wrong in her life? Could it be that in God's wisdom, He made a plan to heal them both on the same day? That before the trip to Jairus' daughter began, that God knew that Jesus was going to encounter a suffering woman as well? Could the interruption actually be the collision of two blessings? Could the interruption actually be the fruition of 12 years of God's planning? God's plan to heal two women. God's plan to bless one father and two daughters. Church, we gotta stop assuming that every Merle in our life is the devil's plan. Right? Stop assuming that every single interruption is the devil's plan. Merle just might be God's plan. Because interruption doesn't have to take your peace. God's not taking your peace. That's not God. But frustration with the interruption is what robs you of your peace. The devil's trying to frustrate you while God is trying to bless you. Because the devil always tries to turn blessings into curses, doesn't he? You've been blessed with a lot of money. Well, now you're cursed with this fear of losing that money. That fear is not from God, that's from the devil. You've been blessed with great productivity and growth in your business and workplace. But the devil keeps making you think that one step wrong, it's all gone. Now you have frustration and fear. He tries to turn God's blessings into curses and frustrations in your life. The frustration and the fear and the lack of peace is not from God. Now, some interruptions are straight up the devil. See, like I said, some are God giving you an opportunity, but the devil's frustrating you with God's blessing. But sometimes the interruption is the devil coming at you and your family. But they require the same response. This interruption will not take my joy, will not take my peace, will not steal my focus. And church, in those moments, we need to ask ourselves, what Holy Ghost purpose has God added to this interruption? Because either way, there's purpose in that interruption. The purpose either comes because the interruption is God's opportunity for a blessing in your life, Or if the devil has brought some interruption into your life, well, Scripture says that all things work together for the benefit of those who love the Lord. That means that God gets wind of the devil's evil schemes and plans to steal, kill, and destroy, and adds purpose and blessing to you. God doesn't do the pain, but He adds purpose. He makes sure that everything that happens in our lives can bless you. Everything I cook, I add chili. Everything, right? No matter what I'm cooking, I'm adding chili. My goal is always to make Lauren's mouth burn so much that she just wants to run away. Like, that sounds like I want it out of the house. That's not what I'm saying. Like, I just want it as hot as I possibly can get my food, right? I love it. Add chili, right? If you give me a recipe, that's great. I'm going to add chili. If it's a cheesecake recipe, I'm going to add chili, right? Always add chili and make it delicious. Anyone else feel the same about chilies? Yep. Good. There's a few of us in this room. That's brilliant, right? God's the same. The devil might come with his recipe and his plan, but God will always add blessing. It's always going to taste like blessing. It's always going to taste like purpose. It's always going to work out good because God takes all things and blesses those who love the Lord. Amen. Which means this, there is purpose in every interruption now. There's purpose in every trial. There's purpose in every moment. And we got to stop and say, God, what can we, you and me, do in this mess? What can we do with this? Your Merle might literally be a dude named Merle. Might be an uncle. Might be a brother. Might be your dad. Might be your mom. It's probably not your mom. Moms never do that. Moms are always good. Women are always good, actually. You heard it here. I said it. Make sure you say that I said it when you're talking to my wife, right? I said it. You know what they say? They say, if you don't know who that person is in your family, it's you, right? Growing up, at our yearly extended family Christmas parties, my whole family was Merle. Like, seriously. My dad was the only boy, six kids, one boy. Excuse me. And so we were the only Newmans, and the Newmans were the Merle. The Newmans were that family, right? My dad, my brothers, me especially, we were the ones who, when we come over, everybody's like, hide your stuff, hide your kids, hide your stuff, you know. They're going to break everything up in here, you know. Like, everybody was singing that when the Newmans were coming over. But you need to remind yourself one thing about the Merle. This person might be annoying and frustrating because 12 years ago, they started to bleed. 12 years ago. Today, they're desperate for a soul-saving encounter. Desperate for a fix. Desperate for a moment of somebody's time that doesn't see them as the bleed, that doesn't see them as a frustration. And even though the devil wants to use Merle to ruin you, maybe God wants to use this interaction to bless you both. I know at Christmas you might be like, someone might walk in the room and you'll be like, stop Merle! And they'll be like, who the heck is Merle? You'll be like, you are. At that moment though, maybe before you do that to them, some of you are talking to each other right now and saying who Merle is, you know, like, that's your brother. You need to ask the Holy Spirit to help you. You need to say, you know, be as honest as you want. Holy Spirit, what you planning with this fool today? Be as honest as you want, seriously, right? Like, just ask God, what purpose have you added? Where's the win? How do I win in this? How does this turn into a blessing? What do you want from me right now? Stop. Sometimes walk out of the room. As parents, we've gotten good at walking. Lauren and I, we are good at walking out of the room. I mean this in all seriousness. Sometimes, like, you know, me or Lauren, you walk out of the room, you're like, God, help, what do I do with this? 8 more seconds, I'm gonna throw a kid through a window. And that's illegal now. So I gotta stop that. Right? Like, it's okay to walk out the room and ask God, what do I do with this? God, give me a dose of peace so much that it overflows and I can give it to Merle as well. See, you see obnoxiousness, but God sees someone who needs to feel important because they never have before. You see frustration, but God sees 12 years of bleeding. You see your need. God sees both. There's a man who decided to skip church one Sunday and head to the hills and do some bear hunting. came around a corner and he ran into a big grizzly bear. And they both went tumbling. His rifle went one way, he went the other way, broke both of his legs and landed on a rock. The bear starts charging towards him, coming at him fast. He's like, oh, I can't get away. And he stops and prays. He's like, God, I'm sorry I missed church. That was dumb, I know. And I know that will happen to everyone at eternity if they don't go to church as well. So they be warned too by this story. But God, forgive me and grant me this one thing. Please make a Christian out of that, Lord. Please, please, Lord, make a Christian out of that bear. The bear's charging and it instantly stops, falls at the man's feet, clasps his hands together and says, dear God, thank you for this food. Please bless it to my body in Jesus' name. Amen. God sees both your needs, right? Hey, come on. God sees your 12-year-old girl and God sees the 12-year-old bleed, yeah? See, you see an annoying male, God sees a son of his creation. He knows you're strong enough. He knows you're bold enough. He knows you're big enough to speak peace, life, hope into Merle's life. He knows you can do that. You're there to bring hope. You're there to bring peace. You are the overflow of every good thing that God is doing in your life, in your church, in your family. Would you stand up with me as we get ready to close? See, listen up. The interaction could be an attack of the devil trying to rob you of your joy, or it could be the collision of God's blessing on two different people. And in that case, the loss or the continuance of peace, that's only you. It could be the lack of money. It could be that there's no presence in your house, which, by the way, if you have no presence for your kids, our church has people who want to give presents to your kids. So you let me know. Well, you email, you just Facebook message or email the church or talk to the desk. We have people that want to help. That right there is the answer to some of your mill right there. Maybe something broke at your house. But the thing is this, if God didn't do it, he can still bless it. All right? Right now, some of you thought about situations, people, hurts, pains, things that are going to happen over this holiday period, over this next week and a half. Some of you thought of them now. I'm telling you, if you thought of them, you need to get prayer today. Come down the front here, right down the front, and ask for prayer. All right? I'm going to walk off the stage in about 2 minutes. Don't walk out of here freaking out about a Merle in your life when God's saying, I've got a blessing for you. Would you come and get it? Amen? Come and ask God for help. Our team is full of faith. Come down the front to my left, right there. That's where we pray for people. They're waiting to pray for you. There's also some people in this room who don't know Jesus. Maybe you did once and you walked away. Maybe you've never had a friendship with God. But I'm telling you this, you need to invite God into your life. You need a friendship with God. God is good. God is good. He wants to forgive you of your sin, the things that you've done wrong. He wants to throw that away. He wants to set you up to live the blessed life that he designed for you way back when he created mankind and said, let us make mankind in our image. And he thought of you. He still has that plan for you. He still has that blueprint. And he can begin to force the things of your life to begin to line up with that blessed life if you want him to. I'm not asking you to change. I'm not asking you to stop sinning, stop saying things, doing things, going places. I'm simply asking you to give your life to Jesus Christ. If there's something in your life that needs to change, if there's something that's destructive to you or offensive to God, hey, when you're ready, God will speak to you about that and then he'll give you the strength and the power to win that battle. But right now, it's not my job. My job is just to tell you, you need Jesus in your life. So every single person in this room is going to repeat a prayer after me, inviting Jesus into their life. Everyone's going to do it. You won't be alone. But I especially want you people who are away from God or haven't known him to pray this prayer with us right now as well. Is everybody ready? Come on, everybody with a great, bold, loud voice. Let's all do this together. Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross for my sin. And he rose again to give me life, hope, joy, peace, and eternal life. I receive it all. I receive this new life. Please forgive me the things that I've done wrong. And help me to be all that you designed me to be. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Come on, praise the Lord in this place. Come on.